quest, and we pray that your will would be done and that you would meet the needs of each one and that you would be glorified in each situation. And we pray that, oh Lord, we pray for one another too, that you would knit our hearts together in love and that through the preaching of your word that we would look to you and not to the circumstances that we're going through. I know it's so easy for us to do that, but Lord, help us to look to thee as our strength and as our shield. And we pray that you'd be glorified in all that we say and do here today, and in the preaching of your word and the singing of praises to you and in taking the Lord's Supper, that you would be glorified, that you would be magnified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Today we'll be in Isaiah 12 this morning. Isaiah chapter 12. Excuse me. Isaiah chapter 12, starting in verse 1. The name of the message is Thanksgiving for the Mercies of God. Thanksgiving for the Mercies of God. A song of praise. Here before us in Isaiah, we have a song of praise. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 1. And in that day, thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Thou wast angry with me. Thine anger is turned away. And thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He has also become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare his doings among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. What a song of praise. What a wonderful song of praise. What a song of thanksgiving. And this points us to the mercies of God. Here before us in our text, we have a song of praise in the book of Isaiah. And think of this, after a week of being out in the world. After a week of being out in the world. We come together. We come together to hear about our wonderful Savior, don't we? We come here to hear about the one who's merciful. The one who's the Savior of His people. And we find great comfort. We find great comfort in the preaching of His Word. We find great comfort in gathering together with His saints. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. And there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. And our rest is not in our doing. Our rest is in Christ and what He's done. What He's done. And it gives us peace. And it gives us joy. It fills our hearts with praise. And my prayer is that God will illuminate the Scriptures. That He would show us Christ. Because if He doesn't illuminate them, we won't see anything. But oh, if He illuminates the Scriptures, the old timers used to say, Lord, illuminate the Scriptures that we might see Thee. That we might see You. Oh, that we might see Christ. That we might rejoice in the great salvation we have in Him. That we might go from this place and say, what a mighty Savior is Christ. He's wonderful. There's no one like Him. Oh, that God might fill our hearts with praise. Look in verse 1. And in that day, that's the gospel day. That's the gospel day for believers. Thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise Thee. Thou wast angry with me. Thine anger is turned away and Thou comfortest me. In the gospel day, God is pleased to reveal Himself to sinners. He reveals Himself in Christ to us. And what do we cry? O Lord, I praise Thee. Foreign words before we were saved. But what a mighty change God the Holy Spirit wrought in us when we're born again. And we give Him all the praise. And we give Him all the honor. And we just want to exalt Him. And we also acknowledge our absolute unworthiness. We're not worthy. But we acknowledge with grateful hearts that He has had mercy on whom here have mercy. He's a sovereign God and He can save whomever He pleases. And aren't you thankful if you're a believer that He saved you? Oh my. Oh my. So in the gospel day, we praise Him and we give Him thanks that His wrath, think of this, His wrath is extinguished from us. It's gone. His wrath against us for our sins, who believe, is gone. Heaven forgiven you all trespasses and sins. By His pardoning grace and mercy, we are reconciled to God. We have peace. The believer has peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. The payment for our sins has been made by Christ's atoning blood. It is finished. No wonder we praise His name. No wonder we give Him all the glory. Justice is satisfied. Justice is satisfied. Thou wast angry with me. Thine anger is turned away, beloved. Turned away in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nowhere else. Only in Christ. And God sheds His love abroad in our hearts, right? And we are comforted by Him. That's why we come into this oasis every week, seeking comfort. Seeking to see our Savior. To see our King. Oh, what a mighty Savior. Look at verse 2 and 3 here. Behold, God is my salvation. We could just park there for a long, long time and not even move from there. God is my salvation. God. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He has also become my salvation. God is my salvation. He's my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. And these are the two verses we're going to key on right here. What wonderful truth we have right before us here. Behold, God is my salvation. This is what the believer says. God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He has also become my salvation. So our hearts fill with joy, don't they? Our hearts fill with joy when we think of the mercies of God towards us in Christ. Undeserving. Unmerited. But by His free and sovereign grace, He bestows it on His people. Oh, it's marvelous. It's marvelous. God is my salvation. The Lord of glory is my salvation. Jehovah is my salvation. Can we fathom that? No wonder it fills our hearts with praise, with joy. And this is not just something we say, is it? This is truth. God is my salvation. God. The God of the universe. The one who holds everything together by the word of His power is my salvation. This is the believer's cry. Is my salvation. It's real. He really, like I say, it's not just something we say. It's a reality. And it's amazing. God is my salvation. And beloved, there's only salvation in Him. It's nowhere else. It's nowhere else. He is all my salvation. All of it. When I was that lost sheep, He came and found me. God. God did that. Maybe just marvel. God, who rules and reigns in heaven, left His throne and became a man and lived the perfect life. And His people can say, for me. And then God in the flesh goes to the cross and bears the justice and wrath of God. And because of that, because of what He did on the cross, Thou was angry with me. Thy anger is turned away. What good news for sinners. This is marvelous. And this is why we say, I'll praise Thee, Lord. I'll give You all the glory. I'll give You all the honor. Because it's all due You. It's all duty. He deserves it all. And salvation is nowhere else, right? Without Christ, there's no salvation for sinners. There's none. Without Christ, there's no redemption for my sins. I've said it many times. I can't pay the price for one of my sins, let alone the billions that I commit in my lifetime. But He paid it all. Once. He turned the wrath of God away from me. He extinguished the wrath of God against His people. That's what propitiation means. He extinguished that. Christ the Lord is my salvation. The questions asked, we'll look at it this morning. How can a man be justified before God? Christ. Only through Christ. Christ Jesus my Lord is my salvation. He's the author of it, so He's the beginning. He is the finisher. He finishes it. Where am I? I'm just the receiver. He did it all. It's marvelous. It's marvelous. God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, is my salvation. And this is the believer's cry. God is my salvation. And therefore, as I say, turn with me, if you would, to Revelation 19. Therefore, Revelation 19, verse 1. Therefore, what do? We give Him all the glory, don't we? We give Him all the honor. If He's the author and the finisher, He did it all. So He gets all the glory. Revelation chapter 19, verse 1. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia. Oh, Alleluia. Praise His name. Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Glory to You, Lord. You did it all. You're worthy to receive all the honor and all the praise. And this is a believer's prayer. We know what we were. We know the pit God dragged us out of, eh? So therefore He gets up. We know we couldn't get out of the pit. We couldn't get out of where we were. But He rescues us. He rescues us. Oh, and so we say, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. And look, it continues, our text continues here. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise Thee. Or, behold, God is my salvation, verse 2, I'm sorry. I will trust and not be afraid. Isaiah 12, 2, I will trust and not be afraid. Now, to trust someone is to have confidence in them. It's to have confidence. And what is the believer's trust? What is the believer's confidence? It's not in themselves. It's in Christ. We look outside ourselves and upwards. Old Scott Richardson used to say, we look out and up to Christ. And that's what we do. We look out and up to Christ. He is our trust. He is our confidence. That God's wrath, His justice is extinguished, is turned away from us in Him. He made the payment for our sin. And what do? We trust Christ has redeemed us, don't we? We trust that His blood was shed in our place. We trust Him. We trust that He has redeemed us from the curse of the law being made a curse for me. We trust that He's done that. That He's actually done that. And I trust that Christ died in my room and place. That He really did. I trust that He did that. And this is the believer's trust. We trust that He did that. I trust that I'm secure from all wrath and condemnation in Christ. 1 Thess says this, 5:9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. It's in Him. And think of this. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 8. Think of this, beloved. If I trust that Christ is my salvation, do you know that no charge can be brought against His people? None. Because we're justified by God. Look at this, Romans 8, 33. I love this verse, this little verse. Who shall lay anything? We could underline that, right? Who shall lay anything? Anything. Now think of how much we sin in a lifetime. Okay? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Romans 8:33. Who shall lay anything? No one will, because it's God that justifies. It's God that justifies. Do you remember in Scripture, it talks about the Lord say, He says, Satan cometh and he has nothing in me. Nothing. He can't find anything in Christ because He's sinless, perfect, perfection. Now in us, there's a lot in us. I know in me, there's a lot. He can come and accuse, but in Christ, there's none. And what am I robed in? And what are you robed in, beloved, if you're one of Christ? The righteousness of Christ, right? Let's look at that again. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. No charge. I trust that in Christ, no charge can be brought against me. It's wonderful. And I trust that Christ has saved me. He really has saved me. And that He one day will present me before His throne. And Scripture says He does it with exceeding joy. God will do that with sinners. No wonder we praise His name. No wonder we give Him all the glory. Look in our verse. It continues. It says, in trusting I will not be afraid. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 27. So trusting is to have confidence in one. And in here it says, in trusting, I will not be afraid. Now remember, in Christ we find our rest for our souls, right? Peace with God. And forgiveness of all our sins. All our sins. There's not one left behind. All of them. So the believer's confidence is in Christ, and therefore we will not be afraid. Why are we not afraid? Because our confidence is in Him. And since He is able to defend me, and since He is able to present me faultless before His throne, then I'm safe in Him. Look at Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. So his confidence not in himself. Look at this. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in His temple. But the Lord is His light and His salvation. And look at verse 5 and 6. For in the time of trouble He shall hide me. There's the rock that we looked at before. There's the rock, Christ the rock. In his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle, shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I'll sing, yea, I will praise unto the Lord. God's people give him praise and sing glory unto him because he has redeemed us from all our sins. And David's trust and rest here is Christ. Is Christ. Oh, this is where we find strength, beloved, in our times of weakness, in our times of sorrow, and in our times of tribulation. We find strength in Christ. He gives us grace and strength to make it through. And this leads us right into the next portion of our text. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. Here we find great encouragement during times of trouble. Here is one to have perfect confidence in, perfect trust in. The Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. God. God. Our spiritual strength is in the Lord and it springs from all the grace of God. He is our comfort in sorrow. He is our comfort in weakness. To Him all the promises are found, right? All the promises of God are found in Christ. All spiritual blessings are in Christ. And look at this. He's also the subject of our song. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. Oh, He is the one who we praise. He is the one who we thank. We give Him, we sing praises. He's my song. I sing praises to Him for what He's done. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 118. And may our hearts fill with praise for what our mighty Savior has done for us. Psalm 118. We owe all our salvation to Christ. Psalm 118, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Because what? His mercy endureth. I love this. Forever. 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 Let Israel now say that His mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that His mercy endureth forever. Doesn't stop. Let them now that fear the Lord say, we who fear the Lord, we who He saved, that His mercy endureth forever. Oh, may this just, may it fill our hearts with praise and thanksgiving because His mercy endures forever. We thank the Lord for His temporal mercies and we thank the Lord for His eternal mercies because, again, His mercy endures forever towards us in Christ. In Christ. His mercies endure forever towards us in the everlasting covenant, which the blood of Christ was shed for. Christ's blood ratified or confirmed the everlasting covenant. That where God the Father gave a people to the Son, and the Son said, I'll die for them. And the Holy Spirit draws us. The everlasting covenant made in eternity. And this is why again, the blood is so important. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Without the shedding of blood, without the blood of Christ, there's no gospel. We saw that on Sunday night. There's no gospel without the blood of Christ. All the blessings of the covenant come through the precious blood of Christ. Redemption, peace, pardon, justification, and even admission into heaven itself. When I see the blood, what? Oh, pass over you. Oh, it's marvelous. And Isaiah continues, says, and my song, and my song. So our song, our praise is to Christ about what He's done for us. And we give it all to Him. And it's personal. Look at this. My song. It's personal. It's personal. This is my song. I've experienced this. Every believer says, I've experienced this. This is my song. This is the reason I give all the praise to Christ. You know, if I could just express how I feel in words, we're so feeble, we can't. You know, preachers, we often talk about this way. If we could only say it the way we feel it sometimes. But oh, this is what He's done for me. God is my salvation. He's done it all. And every believer rejoices because it's the same for them. I'll sing Thy power to save when this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies sodden in the grave. Oh, let us sing the praises of our great God and Savior in Christ for what He's done. Look at the end of this verse. This wonderful fact is repeated again. He has also become my salvation. We look at that. God is my salvation. God. Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. And He died in the room and place of His people. Therefore, God is my salvation. God. What wonder this fills us with. What awe to think that the God of the universe is my salvation. We are just, Spurgeon said, animated dust. But the God of glory has mercy on us. God is my salvation. This is the believer's cry. God, He did it all. In religion, they want to have something to do with it. Nope. God is all my salvation. It's all Him. He did it all. The Lord is my strength and my song, and He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare Him an habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt Him. Exodus 15:2. So the same expression is used here. The Lord is my strength and my song, and He has become my salvation. And this just means, as we looked at earlier, that He is the author and the finisher. He's the Alpha and the Omega. Scripture declares Christ is the one who wrought out salvation for His people. That which we can never do, He does for us. Look at verse 3 here. We'll quickly look at this verse. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Think of the joy that we draw out, right? Of the wells of salvation. This is a deep, deep well. Deep, deep well. And think of this. The bucket. Remember the old wells, and they used to have the you'd lower down the bucket. That's what I picture when I see this. Is that you lower down the bucket and then you draw out. Well, the bucket is faith. One old timer said, the bucket is faith which with this water is drawn. Right? And that's a gift from God. We're bucketless. He gives us a bucket. Draw that water from that well. And drawing the water requires strength and labor, right? Which the saints receive from Christ. We receive that from Christ Jesus our Lord. It's drawn in prayer. It's drawn in the reading of the Scriptures. It's drawn in meeting together. We just draw from that well, right? It's drawn when we hear the gospel of God's free grace preached. And we draw that water hard. And what did the woman at the well say of Christ? Sir, give me this water. Give me this water. The water of life. And don't we desire to drink of that well? Oh, we want that. We want that water. Didn't want it before. And we drink on the water of the well of life, which is Christ. And we receive strength. And we receive grace. And we're always joyful after we drink that water. Oh, it brings us joy. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 7. With joy we draw out the water. What a difference when we were in religion. Think of this. When we were in religion, yeah, pray, pray, pray. You know, you gotta pray. I remember that. But you know what? I get to pray now. I get to pray. When I was in religion, you gotta read 10 chapters a day. No? But I get to read the Bible now. I don't have to, I get to. I don't have to pray, I get to pray. You know? I get to hear the preaching of God's gospel, free grace. I get the privilege and the honor of it. Look at this in John 7:37-38. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Is that not the general gospel call that goes out? Right? Out it goes. "He that believeth on me, as the scripture saith, hath out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Oh, the wells of God are deep. Deep. Oh, we're so blessed. Oh, what a wonderful salvation we have in Christ. To Him be all the glory and honor and praise.